Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Ranieri back with you here on the show. And coming up in just a little bit, we're going to go through our iconic football stadium of the day. In addition to football, we're actually going to do an iconic basketball stadium. Is it really an iconic basketball stadium, an iconic football stadium? If you don't know a lot of the players and they haven't won championships, well, that's why you guys get to decide. Let us know on Twitter at SportsGrid, at Craig Mish, at Joe Ranieri. We'll touch on that in just a minute. But of course, recapping our top story on Sports Grid today, if you're just joining us here at the top of the hour, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have made it pretty clear that they are all in on the 2020 NFL season. And if you were wondering, is there going to be a season in 2020? Well, then answer me this question. Would the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trade draft picks in the 2020 NFL draft for a guy named Rob Gronkowski if they thought they weren't going to be playing? Because I don't think any other teams were knocking down that door for Rob Gronkowski. Of course, Tom Brady playing with Gronk makes a lot of sense. So to me, I don't even care that Rob Gronkowski's on the Buccaneers. What I care about is having an actual 2020 fantasy football season, reality season, and gambling season. And this tells me either the Buccaneers believe there's going to be a season in 2020, which is why they traded for Gronk, or they're really dumb.
They are continuing, as are other people, continuing to move down that path of we're playing some football here this year. And listen, that clock is running, man, both for Gronkowski and for Tom Brady. So let's face it, I think all of them, and you mentioned earlier too, Tom was even caught working out in a park there. How dare he?
He was. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, they're get ready. It's they're planning on playing some football here, like it or not.
Now, what we're going to do for you here on the show is I am going to set some fake FanDuel lines.
Ooh.
They don't exist yet on Rob Gronkowski's catches and touchdowns for 2020.
Okay.
So I essentially am the bookmaker, Joe.
Okay.
You're going to tell me whether or not you think, first of all, that my lines are good or not.
Right.
We got to be clear on that. You may say, Craig, you're a horrible odds maker, which is probably going to be the case. But I think I'm okay at this.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to give you his my created before FanDuel puts them out. By the way, if you're watching at FanDuel, go ahead and you could use my odds for free. No problem at all. Just take what I'm giving you and just use them. Because I'm going to try to get action on both sides, of course. I'm trying to go minus 110, minus 115 on both sides. So I am going to go, and here we go. Here we go, Joe. I'm going to give you Rob Gronkowski's total catches in 2020. The Craig Mish Sportsbook is opening up his total catches at 37.5, over under.
I'm going to go under.
Under 37.5.
Yep. I'm going to
less than 3 catches a game.
Yeah. I don't think.
Is it a good line or not good?
It's a good line.
Did it make you think for more than a second?
It did. And I just don't think I don't see him playing a full 16 games. And it'll be interesting to see if he is more of a kind of a decoy than he is an actual target. There's too much speed and too much other weapons on that team on the outside for
37.
Yeah, I don't see
Rob Gronkowski's catches.
Yep.
42, 90, 55, 39, 82, 72, 38, 105, 72.
I don't see it.
It's been over every single year that he's played.
Yep.
Even in games that he's played 8 and 7 games. But listen, that's why you're good at your job, Joe.
Yeah,
that's why you're the expert here. So you're going to go under 37.5.
I don't trust anybody coming out of retirement staying on the field long enough to catch 40 balls. So
okay, and touchdowns.
Oh.
Touchdowns for Gronk. I'm going to set the line, the Craig Mish line, at 3.5. 3.5 touchdowns for 2020.
I would say he's going to go over that. He would go over that. I think he's got
four like a four or five.
Yeah, I think he's got a four or five in him.
He's like a 1 yard. He's like they get the ball in the one because they got a pass interference. They throw him the ball in the back of the end zone. He does a spike, right?
Yes. He'll be a good
Is that a good line?
That's a very good line, actually. Yes, I enjoyed that. That's actually a very good job.
So what would you, Joe, set the line at for his catches for the season? Forget about what you like over under. What line would you set if you wanted to act? Or unless maybe you like mine. I don't know.
No, I mean, I thought 37.5 was actually very, very, very good. What'd we say? Last time, what, 78? But he played in, I don't think he missed a game that,
He played 11 games, he played 13 games 2 years ago and he had 47 catches.
47. And that's kind of what.
And that's playing almost a full season.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he gets a full season.
So what do you think what would you make the line? Would you make it a little lower then? 35.5?
No, because I think you want to be able to get, the whole point of making a line is to be able to not necessarily get it.
Right.
You want it on both sides. You want even action on both sides. So I'm thinking right around that, what do you say, is 47 and 11 games. So I'd be right around that 41.5, 42 mark.
I think a lot of people would just want to bet the over.
Exactly. And I know
And that's what you got to be aware about.
Yep, absolutely. So, and that's what they'll use the benchmark, 40. You know, 47.5, he played 11 games. If he plays 7 games, I'd be amazed here.
Really?
If he gets that in. Yeah,
maybe we should have a games played prop, too.
Kind of hard. You lose all that weight, then you put it all, you spend a year off, and then all of a sudden you put that weight back on. It's a different ball game, man. It's a different ball game. And, I mean, who are you not throwing the ball to then?
No, they got those receivers, too.
Yeah, which is going to be tough. Decoys are great, but again, I will refer you back to what Craig and I said earlier. Show us that all-world tight end that that flourished under Bruce Arians.
You said it. Yeah. You're right. And you know what? That should have came to mind for me for fantasy too. There has not been. I'm gonna say Heath Miller is the best tight end under Bruce Arians ever.
And even then, wasn't.
He was okay.
Yeah, you know, he was
a fantasy. He wasn't the first fantasy tight end. He wasn't the second. He probably wasn't the third.
Right.
But he was like the fourth.
Yeah.
Or fifth.
Yeah,
he was
good.
Like he started.
Not me, man. Not buying it.
No.
25 catches, then he pulls a quad or something.
It could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen like that.
It doesn't cost much, right? What'd they say that the salary was? I think he was
Gronk.
I think he only making a couple of mil. I don't think it's great.
It's not that. Look, it's Tom Brady wanting him to be there.
Right.
That's it. Which is why it's surprising to me that Antonio Brown didn't work out at all. Maybe it will. You know, maybe he'll be the third receiver in Tampa Bay. We're trying to figure out what running back they're going to have next. It's got to be Marshawn Lynch. I think we've come to that.
Yeah.
To that decision.
He would have counted towards. Right? I mean, by being he would have counted towards, they had to trade him, New England, I think, right? Otherwise, he'd have counted way too much towards the
If he came back,
right?
But if not, he's on the retired list.
Right, he's on a retired. But if he had come back, they had to trade him. They couldn't just drop him. So, I mean, he.
Right, no, it'd be too much. Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense. Sure. Okay, so David Cantor was on our show yesterday. We replayed some of that back. He seems pretty adamant about the top two picks in the draft essentially being Burrow and Chase Young. I'm following this more than I probably ever have in a while, but I don't ever recall seeing this much uncertainty with picks 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
And we're going to a little bit later dive into the quarterbacks and kind of how we see it. But at least from the people that I'm following online, Joe, it seems very uncertain. With a lot of what's going to happen, as I told you last week, and I'll stick with it this week, and now the reports are starting to come out, that I simply don't believe Herbert's going to Miami. I think they take either Tua or somebody else.
Yep.
And we saw some other reports that some teams may be trying to jump into the top three at this point, or maybe even top four.
Okay.
Have you changed an opinion or had a solid opinion on any of the quarterbacks? I know we'll get to it a little bit later on the over-unders, but have you... Do you feel strongly about any of that?
I think that I think there's going to be a shocker in the first in the top 10. I think there is going to be one team that nobody really expects to do something crazy is going to do something crazy. And I think it's going to be centered around that quarterback position. I really do. So I do think that there could be a big surprise in the top 10 when it comes to both Tua, Herbert, and Jordan Love. And who knows? There might even be another quarterback somewhere in there that we don't know about. There's still a ton of great play. Even when we talked to David, he was talking about how there are still a lot of very good players out, you know, free agents that haven't been signed yet. Some people where, you know, what's going to happen when Andy Dalton here? Where is that going? If Andy Dalton wants to play or is shot to play, he's not playing with Cincinnati. He's not going to sit there and hold Burrow's hand. So I just think there's going to be a shocker that's going to hit the board early on in the draft.
Yeah, no, I think that it's very compelling. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to being here on Sports Grid with everybody, and I'll be on my end covering it from Miami's end. And if anything else I hear throughout the draft, I'll certainly give it to you. But I would expect that Miami will be my main focus.
What does Miami do with the second pick in the?
I mean, look, I'll tell you all the pieces of information that I've been given over the last couple of months, and it's not a lot, but I can tell you what I've been given. I told you, Joe, from the jump here that they're not going to take Herbert. Did I not?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yep. So that's absolutely. Now I can't tell you for sure if they're going to take Tua.
Right.
I can't do that, but I can tell you they're not going to take Herbert.
They're not taking Herbert. Okay.
I mean, look, again, I'm just giving you the information that I was given.
Yep. West Coast guy, never been out of Oregon, never taken a
snap. I mean, I have an excellent track record with reporting this sort of stuff, but that's not to say I've never been wrong ever, and maybe I'll be wrong this time, but that is just what I was told, is that it was a very low percentage chance that they were going to take him, and then I was told they're not taking him. I know that they like DeAndre Swift a lot. I know they brought Dobbins in. Mm. But I know that they've liked Swift for a while. I don't know that they would take him with that second pick that they have.
Okay.
And obviously that's going to be predicated as to what they do in the top five, if they still have that top five, if they move up, move down. I know they like Swift. I know that they would prefer Love over Herbert.
Okay.
But I don't believe that they have a first-round grade on Love.
Okay.
Now, you and I both know in the history of the NFL draft, from the time the college football season ends to the time that we get to right now, there's no other inflation like quarterback inflation in the NFL draft.
So true.
The season ends, and Jordan Love is like, oh, maybe he'll be a third round pick, and now he's a first in the top 20 pick, right?
It's so
now,
true,
maybe on draft night, he's a second round pick. I mean, it happens, and everyone goes back to Aaron Rodgers. Everyone had him as a top 15 pick, and he slipped all the way down. Lamar Jackson. Patrick Mahomes. I don't put Love in that category with those other guys, and I don't think the Dolphins do too. So I think that the way that they look at it is that if they didn't take Tua with the first pick and they could get Love with their first pick and they get Love in the second round, what is the worst case scenario there, Joe? If Love doesn't work out, you still have Fitzpatrick as your quarterback next year. You go right back into the draft the following year. You take another guy. It's almost the same thing as Haskins, except for you're not giving up that kind of draft capital like Washington did with Haskins, and I don't think they're fully convinced that Haskins is the answer there either.
Going to be fascinated.
I would think they would love to get Love in the second round if they could, if they didn't take Tua, but then everybody knows, Joe, if they don't take Tua, that they're going to want – there's no way that he's going to fall to them in the second round because someone would probably come up and snatch him. But when we go over the odds, by the way – I think that we're going to learn a lot more if FanDuel has it right, we're going to learn a lot more about this than we even know. Because when you look at those odds for both Herbert and Love, it tells you neither of those guys are getting drafted as high as everyone thinks.
There could be a fall from grace. I'm telling you, I think there's going to be a couple of shockers there in the top of the draft. And the wild card, again, for the Dolphins to me is Josh Rosen. I just don't.
Why? I don't think he has any future.
Maybe not with the Dolphins, but that's certainly a piece, though. The kid's, 24? Another kid is 24 years old. He's never gotten a chance really to do a darn thing.
And last year was unfair.
So was his first year. It was completely unfair. So, he's young enough, and I do think there would be a team that would be willing to swap out something along the – I think he's going to be part of the draft experience. I don't know how, whether it's a
– But Miami, can they afford to take on more draft picks at this point?
Or move up to get somewhere, I think.
Well, that's possible.
Yes.
That's possible.
Yeah. I mean,
Fitzpatrick is going to be their starter next year.
Right. And if they go with – chances are he's going to be – All right, you're not going to hold three quarterbacks on the roster, I don't think.
No. I think, and again, now we go from facts that I know to my opinion.
Right.
And I've given you what I know factually. Now I'm giving you my opinion. I think it would be an epic mistake for them to pass on Tua. I really do. I see him as so much better than those other quarterbacks that we're talking about. To me, he's the only bona fide star quarterback in this draft. I cannot say that at all about Love. I watched him a lot.
Right.
And Herbert, to me, as I've talked about here on the show before, that's the best that you've gotten out of a quarterback that had the same offensive lineman for almost 3 years. Five guys playing on the same offensive line in college for 3 years. That's the best of what you're going to get. That's not going to be like that in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, my second favorite quarterback is Jalen Hurts. That's my second favorite quarterback.
How good would have Herbert have done if he had Ruggs and Judy to throw to? Because he had nobody to throw
that's
to.
That's fair, but he had the blocking. No quarterback in college in the last decade has had blocking like that.
Yeah, but they don't throw the ball. They're a running team. I mean, that's basically it. They're gonna run the ball. They're gonna get up there.
I'm not a believer.
I don't know, man. I thought what we got in the Rose Bowl and what we saw.
Yeah, I got a great Rose Bowl.
I think that's more of what he should have been in. Then, Cristobal, who I think is just a terrible coach. I don't buy it at whatsoever. I think he doesn't do anybody who wants to go to the NFL any justice with that program there on the offense. But no denying he's got the arm. He's good above the shoulder. Seems to be a good kid. Stays out of trouble. And let us not forget, he went and got surgery last year. The year before he walked into his senior year, he wanted to play in that LSU game. And almost beat them, guys. Almost beat them, and he wasn't 100%.
Yeah. Listen, you make really good points, and we all have to, plant our flag with the guys that we like in this draft. And for me, it does remind me a little bit about, and I know Nick Saban made this comment yesterday, it's unfair. Nick Saban wants his quarterbacks drafted high. I get that.
Yes.
And Nick Saban was the one, inevitably, that made the decision to take Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees, which changed the entire history of the Dolphins franchise. It feels a little bit like that here. I think it would be a big mistake to pass on this guy. Every quarterback can get hurt in the NFL at any given time. You don't know. Is he a little bit more injury prone than others? Yeah, potentially. But Tua is a stud, man. I mean, he is so much better than those other guys.
Yep.
And the only one that I like more than I like Tua is Trevor Lawrence. He's the only, and again, Dolphins are not tanking. They didn't even tank last year. They can't even get the tank right last year.
Right, right.
And cost me money.
Yeah.
So I love Trevor Lawrence. I'm all in on him. I know he had a bad game in the championship game, but Tua and Lawrence to me are the bona fide guys. And after that, I would take the guy from Hawaii.
Who's tanking from
McDonald?
Trevor? Yeah, absolutely.
I like him. Yep. I think he's got a chance to be good.
Yep.
So I just don't like those other guys at the top. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. Joe and I will be back with a whole lot more, including our stadium tour.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Ranieri with you here on the show as we're getting ready to take our college football tour for the day. Hopefully, of course, there'll be games in college football this season. And, of course, yesterday, the president of Connecticut, of UConn, came out yesterday, Joe, and said, late yesterday, fall sports will likely be canceled. And the quote is, current thinking is that likely fall sports will be canceled with the exception of those that can be played at a safe distance. This is the president who spoke to a UConn journalism class. I guess maybe this was on the web somewhere months ago. Hopefully this is not the case. And again, there'll be some walking back, of course, on this. No doubt about it, but it's the last thing that we want to hear. Going to be tough, for sure, to have a lot of people in college football stadiums in August and September. But we'll just have to see where we're at in a few months from now as we press on. And yep. So, Joe, I wanted to... Today, not necessarily go back to an iconic stadium in terms of championships, because clearly, as we start off with this today, Wisconsin hasn't won a lot of championships. But their stadium opened up as their stadium basically is as old as almost any college football stadium in the country, if not older, 1917.
Yep, it certainly is. And it's, to this day, and we had talked about it here, it's that one college football stadium that anybody who's ever been there is like, you don't. It's just crazy. It's absolute craziness, man. The fans are great. The teams are always tough. It's just classic Big Ten football. But Camp Randall and University of Wisconsin is supposed to be a very special place, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, they haven't won a ton of titles, but as Joe said, it's the environment and the college atmosphere that is there is unlike any other. It's really unmatched.
It's crazy.
And you would think Wisconsin would be in the SEC, honestly, with the way that they kind of play football there. But opened up 1917. This is called Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin. For those of you who don't know, you've heard it referred to as Camp Randall for sure. Home of the Wisconsin Badgers and one college football championship that, honestly, Joe and I probably don't even remember. That was back in 1942. So we would have to Google the archives there for sure with Wisconsin. But when it comes to mind for me, what do I think of, Joe? I think of big dudes on the offensive line.
Yep.
I think of a lot of snow in December and January. I think of Barry Alvarez a little bit too. Like I think all the years that he was there. And I think that unfortunately what I think of now with Wisconsin, Joe, is that I think that it's like Wisconsin is the team that plays in the Rose Bowl every year. Why? Sure. Because they're not in the championship, because that's Ohio State playing in the playoff. Because they're in the playoff, that means the Rose Bowl gets the next best thing, and it always seems to be Wisconsin.
Always. Yep, absolutely always. But look, great school, great program, tough, hard-nosed kids. They play great football. We've had our share of pretty good running backs that come out of there. Yep. Never really been a great quarterback school. But certainly offensive linemen and some defensive players, too, that would certainly come to mind. But for the most part, running backs and offensive linemen, it seems to be a NFL factory there.
Yeah, no doubt. Russell Wilson is only one year.
Yep.
Okay, so let's get it going here. Here are the iconic players to play in a Wisconsin Badgers uniform. I had never heard of Alan Ameche, but he was a Heisman Trophy winner and part of championship-type seasons with Wisconsin. So he played in that stadium. They opened up in 1917. There are going to be names we've never heard of before, but this is part of the learning process here on Fantasy Sports Today. You're going to learn about some guys you've never heard of. Heard of the rest. I've heard of all these other guys. Ron Dayne, another Heisman Trophy winner for Wisconsin. Of course, his NFL career, I can only remember one game on a Thanksgiving that he was awesome. That's about it. I don't really remember much else. Yeah. I remember thinking he was going to be good, but he wasn't. Mike Webster, who is a College Football Hall of Famer and one of the best offensive linemen in Steelers history, unfortunately passed away many years ago. Yeah, but terrible. I think that he needs to be mentioned as well.
Yes, absolutely. It was, I believe, CTE, wasn't it, somewhere along the lines?
I think he was one of the first
one of
cases
the first.
Of acknowledging that. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Beloved Steeler, that's for sure.
Yeah. And Ron Dane, Joe, you know, look, I mean, as you said, they've just been piping out running backs for a long period of time, and Dane was just one of many there. Yeah. It's just when they get to the NFL, it can't be the slow plodding running back. It's just not that kind of game anymore.
No. It was, and it was so funny because when he went to the Giants, I think they had Jacobs too, didn't they? Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just a lot of, there wasn't anything really athletic about what they were doing there. So, but he set all sorts of records at college too, I believe.
Yeah, it was an Heisman winner.
Yeah, I mean, he broke all sorts of some college rushing records and stuff. So it just never panned out at the NFL. Just never did.
Yep, we got J.J. Watt. Why is J.J. Watt number four here? Well, again, I do this in terms of eras a lot. And the other part of this is I got to be, you know, really transparent on this one. J.J. Watt's a better NFL player than he ever was in college.
I mean,
that's just the truth.
Good point.
J.J. Watt was good in college, but he wasn't even much his first year with the Houston Texans. It was really when the playoffs came around that second year that he took off.
But he's
an alumni there, and he was very good there, but he was not a superstar like he is
now.
Not
by any stretch of the imagination. Nope.
No. Joe Thomas, another great college football player, probably ends up in the College Football Hall of Fame. First round pick from the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
He played there for more than a decade, Joe. And
Unfortunately
for Joe Thomas, he never played on a good Browns team.
He played in Cleveland for all those years. That was the problem.
And they were like, oh, why did you retire? Mm-hmm. You could have played with Baker Mayfield. And that didn't even go well this year. And so it's like, what, he would have stayed around for another year and it just wouldn't have amounted to
anything.
He got
a lot of hands in his crotch over today's snapping footballs too, man.
Yeah,
An awful lot. Most of those quarterbacks you get on that list there were with Joe Thomas. What a shame. Unbelievable. Because he'd have been so good on so many other teams.
He was awesome.
It was ridiculous. Yep. Unreal.
Melvin Gordon is our final one here. Gordon had a couple of really good years at Wisconsin and, of course, went on to have a solid NFL career. I don't know where that career is headed right now with the Denver Broncos, but he was very good with the Chargers and obviously very good with Wisconsin. So that's what I got here for the top six. Any players you want to mention that I missed? I've got a couple that fell a little short.
You'd mentioned Russell Wilson, which I thought was very interesting, but you know, I don't even know if a lot of people still understand that Russell did not start at Wisconsin. He started at North Carolina State. So it's interesting an interesting dichotomy there, but a lot of those teams back in those Barry Alvarez days, man, they were, it was an instant ticket to the NFL for a lot of guys on that team.
Yeah, and then Brett Bielema went there.
Yes.
I thought Bielema was a good coach. It didn't work out for him in Arkansas, but I liked Bielema.
Yep,
I thought
absolutely.
That he was good there. But I'm surprised he hasn't coached again. He must be still getting paid by Arkansas.
Didn't he the defensive coordinator, the guy from the Ravens, play there? Didn't he? Jim Leonard.
Yes.
He played there, right? Yeah, so I remember that. Okay, so he's the new defensive coordinator there. Actually, pretty good, too. But, you nailed most of the good. Most of the big-name guys
you got.
Yeah, most of them when you got. A lot of offensive linemen played, but you never.
Shocking. We got three offensive linemen on this list.
Exactly. So. Yep, that tells you everything.
All right, so from college football, we're actually going to do a little NBA today, and we're going to keep it right here in South Florida. I figured we'll have a little fun with this, and
there was another way, but hold on with it. There was.
Here's some other names, too. I'll give you that. Travis Frederick with the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboy. Okay.
Troy Vincent played at Wisconsin.
Oh, very good. Very good.
That's it.
What was that? There was another running back sandwiched between Ron Dane and Melvin Gordon that also had a bunch of yards. Ball? Was it Ball? I think he was with
Denver. Auntie Ball?
Yeah, right? Remember that? It was another guy that had it. Yeah, he had a whole bunch of another guy that running-wise they gave the ball to 300-400 times in a season.
Yeah, Monty Ball had 5,000 yards. Yep. He had actually more than Melvin Gordon.
He was.
Bad call by me. I probably should have had him.
Yeah,
James White actually was Wisconsin.
Also, too, yeah. And then he went to, I think Monty Ball went to Denver also, ironically enough.
He did. Yep. He did. Michael Bennett was a good running back there. And then also with the Vikings, if I'm
also
not mistaken.
Also good, yeah. Yeah, running backs and offensive linemen.
E.J. Hill.
Yep. Yeah, that was right. I remember when there was
Clement.
One other guy. Clement, too. That's right. Absolutely. Yep.
Oh, Was Joe Giravicious? No, he was on.
No, Wednesday. I don't. Was he?
I think that's it.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was good. We killed that.
I think we got Wisconsin right. Yep. Finally, I got one right. It took all year. All right. Let's move on to South Florida here.
Okay.
And let's move on to American Airlines Arena.
Mm.
And you're like, well, Craig, why are you including a team that has only been in their arena for, you know, 5-10 years? They've been in there for 19 years.
It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes. I was at the first game there. My car got towed.
Wow. That's
the best story.
My car got towed.
You used to have to pay a guy to watch your car at the old arena.
That's correct.
This one they opened up in 2000, home of the Miami Heat, and three championships, of course, in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken here,
that's
Joe.
Correct.
Should have been a lot more. Remember the whole not one, not two, not three? That didn't quite work out. LeBron James, after losing in the final one, left town, went to Cleveland. But they did get a couple NBA championships with him, and of course they got one before he got there. And so, you know, in Heat history, Joe, and I was a season ticket holder back in like the late 80s, late 90s, and of course Glenn Rice was on those teams, Tim Hardaway was on those teams, but we're starting basically at 2000 since they moved into what would be considered the new place here.
Okay. Really? Trying to think, when did Shaq get here? Shaq got here.
He played there and he won the championship
right,
there.
Right. And that was
a big parade for him when he
Right, yes, yeah. When he rolled in on the diesel, right? He rode in on that truck.
I was at that.
They had not been in that arena very long, I think, when he had gotten
A couple of years. A couple of years. This is when the whole Shaq and Kobe thing was going on.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
They didn't want to win 10 titles. They only wanted to win three. We're watching this. I mean, it's like so many people are asking themselves, like, why did they break up the Bulls? Well, I mean, they broke up the Lakers. The Warriors broke themselves up. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is sports. This is egos. It happens. It seems crazy to think that Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf did not want to bring Michael Jordan back and Scottie Pippen back and all these guys for another 5 years.
It's ugly.
And let them age and fall apart, but still fight to win championships again. They probably would have won another one.
Yep.
But this is what, you know, people think that they're smart and they want to do things their way. And Pat Riley would be at the top of the list for people who wanted to do things his way too.
That's correct.
All right, iconic Heat players in the history of South Florida sports. You got Dan Marino, you got Dwayne Wade, 1 and 2. I mean, I don't know which way you slice it. Some people think Wade is now the all-time sports guy in Miami. It's very possible that he is and Marino's too. But they're 1 and 2 regardless of that. Shaquille O'Neal, as Joe mentioned, came over, and the Heat actually were doing very well in the new arena. They had Lamar Odom, and they had a lot of other players. And then as soon as they got those players, they just traded them to get Shaq, and they sent them off to L.A. And
that's correct.
Caron Butler came up with the Heat. He was a great rookie with them as well. All those players were gone. They brought in Shaq. Shaq got him a title. And then 2 years later, Shaq wanted out of Miami, if you remember correctly.
Yep.
LeBron James, Chris Bosh, of course. Those guys part of the equation. Wade, James, and Bosh were the big three. Udonis Haslem playing with the Heat, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is his tenure is the longest in the history of the NBA, one player on one team. I mean,
guys,
you would never think that, but Haslem has been there forever. And then Alonzo Mourning did a lot of his damage with the Heat at the old Miami Arena.
Yes.
But he was part of the Heat in the new one, or new, but you know, 17 years, 18 years. For the first couple of years they were open, and then remember the Heat went into this huge tailspin where they lost like 60 games, and instead of retiring, Alonzo Mourning chose to leave and go play for New Jersey.
That's correct.
I don't know why he did that, and then said, oh, maybe I made a mistake, and then came back to the Heat.
He figured it out,
and ended up winning the championship, the one championship, with Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, Gary Payton, Antoine Walker, Jason Williams, and that group.
Crazy. That was great too. It was
you go to any of that stuff? You ever go to any of those championships?
Early on, the Shaq year, I went that year there, then I went to see LeBron a couple of times too as well. That's the reason why for a very long stretch of time you were not getting a ticket into the AAA arena. It was
in my opinion, looking back on it now, and I was able to go to all of that stuff. I went to championships, both of them, covered them as media, went as a fan even before that, but you know, covered a lot of those games. there's no doubt that when LeBron made his announcement and he announced that he was going to sign with the Heat, there was a fever like that we have never seen before, and I get that.
Yeah, right.
But I still think that it was nothing like Shaq. When Shaq was traded to the Heat and he had that parade, like it was a different day when LeBron signed, because that was when we were first starting getting into Twitter and he had his own announcement. But but Shaq was global, you know, like people wanted to be in that front row and see him play. And while LeBron, of course, was very hot and they won championships, it didn't have the same feeling. Now, they went on to have a lot more success with LeBron than they did when Shaq was there, that's for sure. But I still think the impact was bigger when Shaq got there, because, Joe, the Heat was not on the map in the NBA to that point. They had done okay. They had played in a lot of Eastern Conference battles with the Knicks, you know, but they had never really accomplished anything.
No, not at all.
When Shaq got there, that changed everything. Yep. It really did.
Yep, that was a that's what really started it all, because that's when the myth and the legend of Pat Riley, man, being able to – if I remember correctly, too, it wasn't like anybody was even talking about Shaq choosing Miami. Like, it was, next thing you know, the guy's in an 18-wheeler, you know, driving down Biscayne.
Yeah,
going,
it's true,
what?
Because at that time, the Heat had drafted Wade, and they had signed Lamar Odom.
Yep.
And Odom was a big deal at that time.
Oh, yeah.
But forget about how good he was.
Yep. Big time.
And they also had this kid, Caron Butler, who was, I don't know if he may have been the rookie of the year, but Caron Butler was great.
Absolutely.
For the Heat. They had this core of guys.
Yep.
And they broke it all up to get Shaq, which worked. I mean, it was worth it. They shipped them all to L.A.
Yep.
But inevitably, that's kind of what started putting Miami on the basketball map, and they have great fans too, very passionate fans.
Awesome. Shane Battier played there for a long time as well. He was part of
People forget Gary Payton won a championship with the Heat.
Absolutely. Yep. Couldn't get it done in Seattle.
No, he could not. Mm-hmm. Had to run through Jordan. All right, coming up next, the latest NFL draft odds. According to FanDuel, we're going to hit on the quarterbacks today, so don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Bish along with Joe Ranieri with you here on the show. If you're watching our show live, that is cool and that is fine. But I do want to remind you, you can access all of our shows on demand just by pulling up YouTube, liking and subscribing to our show, and hitting the notifications on button. Mm-hmm. And then that show will get you'll get notified every day. And then you can watch our shows on demand whenever you like, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In addition to that, just a quick reminder, and then I'll let Joe give the rest of the details on this, because he is the show planner for our draft extravaganzas on Thursday and Friday. But we'll be live at 8 o'clock Eastern on sportsgrid.com. And all of the hosts that you see in our family on SportsGrid are all going to be tackling this NFL draft team by team, position by position, player by player. I'll be involved in it as well, handling a lot of what Miami ends up doing one way or the other. But Joe, anything else that you'd like to throw in or add to this before we get to what probably is going to be our last time going through the quarterback odds?
Yes.
On FanDuel.
Yeah. No, it's going to be great. Thursday, Friday. I mean, we'll have you covered. Certainly going live at 8 o'clock there, right around the draft time. So we're going to go in sync with, of course, Roger Goodell and company. And we're going to give you certainly a big betting perspective from this draft. Ton of prop bets. Couple of side bets among hosts, too, that will be discussed there. So there will be some payment that's going to have to take place there among a few of them. So friendly.
What is the key? What is that key? If you could give me one, give me one good side bet that's been executed.
There's a few hosts that are absolutely convinced that the Chargers do not go with a quarterback with the sixth pick. In fact, many of them feel that there is going to be somebody that comes from past the Chargers that's going to move up into the top 10 to grab a quarterback. I don't know which one, but that it's going to be somebody else is going to shock us and come in there. There seems to be this feeling that, like you had mentioned too, Tua and Herbert, everyone expects three out of the top five picks to be quarterbacks. And not a lot of people think that around here. So
what side are you on?
I think they're going to go because I'm with you. I don't think they have. Listen, if you're Chris Greer, you're screwed if you do, and you're screwed if you don't. I mean, if you pick him, right, if you pick Tua and he goes out, gets hurt, and, you know, he spends another year, 2 years on it. You're screwed, right? But if you don't pick him and he goes to somebody else and he stays healthy and all of a sudden he takes over the world, you lose your job. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And Chris Greer, you might as well go and take the quarterback and let the chips fall where they may.
Of course you do. And not only that, think about this, Joe, for a second here. And look, I don't know that these guys think about job security 24/7. I don't know how that works. But we all know it. We all know it exists.
Yep.
And in terms of job security, what better security would you have than taking Tua and not having to play him for one game all of next year? Your record doesn't even matter.
Exactly.
You know that in 2 years you have to play him no matter what.
Mm-hmm. It is going to be kind of hard, too, though, for any of the – if you're picking a quarterback in the top five or six, very hard to sit them on the bench.
I don't think Tua's playing though. I do not think he's playing.
Well, because he's telling everyone he's healthy. So if he's healthy,
it doesn't make a difference. I don't think wherever he goes, he plays for. Look, he may play in Week 14, but again, I don't think he starts off the season as a starter.
Be very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other side bet too.
You know what I really wanted to know was the side bet. Are you the Chargers one? Is that one you're in on? Are you in on that?
I am not in on that. No, okay. I don't think they're going quarterback. At least I hope they don't call quarterback. But I do think that chalk will prevail in this draft. I'm expecting that they're going to go and grab the quarterbacks they have to, and then that the fun part of this draft will begin with the Jets at number 11.
Okay.
The rest will be pretty chalky.
So let's go through the quarterback odds, and these are courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook. So here we go. We'll start off with Tua, and his position on FanDuel right now is exactly where you would expect it to be.
Yep.
And this has moved a little bit to the under, and it's climbing here at minus 150. So full expectations here from most that Tua is going to be taken in the first five. The over is plus 118. And I do believe that this will be an under, and I think Miami will end up taking him, and that's where I'm going to stand on it. I can't say I'm certain of that, but if I had stake in the game, and to be fully transparent, I don't have any stake in the game in this draft, no money.
So,
but my
question
prediction
is,
would be under,
if it goes over the 5.5, who's taking him?
If the
Dolphins and the
Oakland.
Chargers, you think Oakland would move? Do you think Jacksonville would do it?
No, Oakland.
Yeah, okay. So you don't think so? Oakland would go from 12 and say well, they certainly got the capital to do
it. If Oakland sees an opportunity to get this guy and sit behind Carr and then take over in 2 years in that stadium in Vegas.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't see Mayock or Gruden being afraid of that.
No, I don't think either. And they got a boatload. That's interesting. So
that's listen. That's an opinion, by the way.
Right.
That's presented with no factual evidence.
Right. Of course. Well, most of it is all.
All right. Now, on this one, you know, this is relatively easy for me as well.
Okay.
The NFL odds, the draft odds on Herbert, I think I've laid it out for you. From what I've heard, the Dolphins are not taking him. So this is an over 5.5, -148. I feel better about this one than I do on Tua. So this would probably be my favorite of all of them, knowing what I know. So I'd go over 5.5 and lay $148 to win 100 if that's what you're going to end up doing. I guess that there could be some team that we don't know of that's in love with this guy that I'm unaware of to this point, because certainly I'm not aware. I don't think anybody else is aware, or this wouldn't be on the board. FanDuel's not taking bets on things that people know. It's all a guess. We know that.
Right.
So, Joe, do you side any which way on this one? Any strong opinion?
Let me ask you, let's say Chargers come, right, and the people at Sports Grid who feel pretty strongly say Chargers go defense and
it would make sense, but
who do you think goes up?
Herbert could end up going way after all this.
Really? So do you think the Raiders would do the same? Do you think the Raiders would go get her? All right, so you think the Raiders are going to sit there, and if any one of those two guys drops close enough after that, they'll go – because we know there's not a lot of teams after that would ever take a quarterback outside of Jacksonville at 9, but Carolina's not, so Arizona's not, the Jets aren't. So basically, it could be the Raiders for the pick-on who's ever left over.
I think it is. Think it is. Look, I mean, Carr is not Gruden's guy.
No, right.
No, he's not Mayock's guy.
Neither is Mariota.
This is all of sports. This is when the GM takes over another team and they inherit a player.
Yep. So true.
Sometimes it works, but more often than not, they're looking to get their own guy. I think the Raiders are coming out of this draft with a new quarterback.
It
won't be somebody that'll start. It'll be somebody that'll play behind Carr.
Yep.
And Carr's a great guy. He's going to understand that. He's getting paid a lot of money.
Yep.
And he's going to play 8 games. And if he plays well, he'll play 16 games. And then whoever that quarterback is plays the next year.
Yep.
I think the Raiders end up with somebody else. Wow. How about this indictment on Jordan Love? Let's take a look at this one.
Oof.
Wow. Okay. Oof. So what are they telling you here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, right? Over 19.5 -200. Plus 154 at under 19.5. I mean, this is screaming Jordan Love's not a first round pick.
Wow.
I mean, to me, it is.
Wow.
Unless some team is jumping up or jumping down, I mean, I'm not laying -200 on an NFL draft bet. No way. So
nope.
This to me was the biggest indictment on any of the things that I saw when I was pulling this up today, Joe. I don't think Jordan Love's going in the first round.
I gotta tell you, man, it's interesting because as you get past 20, you know what I mean? There's a couple of very interesting teams when you go there, including the New England Patriots, who are sitting around there at 23.
That could be.
You know, that could be interested, or you might have some teams maybe at the top of day two that might be willing to move up there at the bottom of day one and pick him up if he's still there. But that's a -200 at 20 or more, guys, is screaming second round.
It's got to be. I mean,
screaming second round.
What would you make? I mean, think about this. Like, you're looking – if somebody was to retort to that, who's listening or watching and saying, what are you guys talking about? It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going in the second round. Well, let me pose this question. If it's -200 at 19.5, what do you think the 25th pick is? It's still -150 or -140 if they were going to make those odds.
Yep, exactly correct.
I mean, it does feel like that's the case. It feels like it.
Well, I mean, listen, it's funny. What, 19, right? You've got 19 and 20. Somewhere around that is going to believe. I believe 18 is you got that second pick coming right in that ballpark of both of the Raiders and Jacksonville. So that could very well be an interesting spot here, which I think is why they've got it sandwiched between 19.5, because 23 is the Patriots.
I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, the other part of this too, Joe, is that I don't know that teams like Green Bay and there are some other ones, New Orleans. Love is a second round pick for those teams. Like,
absolutely.
You take care of your business in the first round with the thing that you need for this year.
Yep.
And then you have the luxury in the second round of taking that guy. I don't know. Something tells me Love goes in the second round. of this
would
draft.
Would not surprise me. I mean, there's a couple of teams. I think there's five or six teams that don't have a first round pick. So,
right.
You know, they may be willing to move up there and go ahead and get him in the bottom of that round. So it'll be fascinating seeing where he goes and with the rest of these guys as well.
And by the way, two months ago, everybody thought he was going in the second round. And by the way, he's done nothing in 2 months.
That's correct.
Except for say hello, and then they moved up. It's quarterback inflation every year.
Yep.
Okay, Jacob Eason. Ooh. I don't. This is tougher for me because now we're starting to dive into possibilities for teams in the third round and beyond here. Essentially,
yes.
It could be a second, it could be a third, but we don't know. And these are just stayaways for me. But Joe, this is a backup plan for someone that doesn't land. I think one of these other guys. Over 47.5 is set at -138. The under is at +108. I mean, I guess you could throw a dart and hope he gets taken ahead of Love. Maybe
right.
It's possible. I mean, we've seen stranger things happen. Wouldn't shock me. I personally think Eason could be as good as Love or better. So
yes.
It wouldn't surprise me at all to see this happen. I would lean toward the under. And if I'm going to throw a dart here, this may be the one that I would throw.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you're going 47, that I'll give you the teams leading up to that. You got Tampa at 45, Denver at 46, the Falcons at 47, the Jets at 48, and the Steelers at 49.
Well,
so
Pittsburgh's a possibility.
Yeah, interesting that they could go home. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sit behind because they're going to have to go quarterback at some point, these
of
teams.
Course.
So
of course.
A bad chance to take a flyer right around that number.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And, I think that, I would probably have to admit that I believe Herbert's better than Love. But
right.
At the point where I get to Love, I have no real difference between Love, Eason, Fromm, and even Jalen Hurts.
Well, Eason's got the better arm. I mean, the guy's got
I think Eason could be better.
Yeah.
I think very easily.
Yep.
I mean, I like watching him play last year.
Absolutely.
Jake Fromm of Georgia, who was solid but unspectacular. Jake Fromm's going to play in the league for 10 years with somebody. He may not be a starter. He may be a backup. But his over is set as 61.5 -130. So this is kind of telling you that looks like late second or third for him. I would say that most likely third for Fromm. But under 61.5 is +106. Fromm is probably going to enter a situation, Joe, that has an established starting quarterback would be my guess.
Yes.
And this is where we're starting to get into New Orleans, Green Bay range,
mm-hmm.
I think, at this point. And maybe even Minnesota too, they're confident with Cousins, but let's bring somebody else in maybe to compete in a year or two. Because I don't think Fromm is playing at all for anybody this year.
It's interesting too, because the bottom half of that second round at 61 is Tennessee. Just before that is Baltimore and Seattle. And just after that is Green Bay, Kansas City, and Seattle. So it'll be very interesting. The Dolphins have the 56th pick. In case he's still hanging around there, who knows? But I could see somebody maybe looking to go up and get him continuing. Again, could be a third rounder, but you know what? If somebody loves him, they'll come up in the bottom of the second round there, especially with Seattle, two picks, 59 and 64.
For sure. Yeah, the one quarterback that, and we didn't do Hurts here. Maybe we'll do him tomorrow. But the one quarterback that I'll tell you that I'm really interested in, and maybe my favorite later round guy, I've discussed him before, is Cole McDonald of Hawaii.
Yeah.
He threw for 4,000 yards and 33 touchdowns last year. His numbers were better than Jordan Love.
Cut his
and
hair.
By the way, not a huge difference in conference from the one that Love plays in as opposed to the one that Hawaii plays in too.
True.
And I understand that his accuracy is certainly not fantastic. He threw 14 picks last year, 36 touchdowns the year before that, 69 touchdowns in 2 years at the quarterback position. For a guy that's, by the way, 6'4", 220 pounds.
Somebody's taking a flyer on him.
I mean,
Gardner Minshew is a starting quarterback in the NFL as a sixth round pick. Trust me, somebody's going to bring Colt McDonald.
Yeah, no, that's a guy late in a draft that I'd love to see.
And Jalen Hurts, somebody's going with him as well. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going,
absolutely.
Guys.
And so we got the draft coming up Thursday night. That'll do it for our odds segment. And certainly those of you who have any opinions on any of these, you'll be able to weigh in on social media throughout the day and throughout the night. Now, I personally don't have Instagram, but of course here on Sports Grid, we have an Instagram. So make sure that you send us your comments, your likes, things that you want to see, maybe players that you want us to touch on, and we'll take care of that for you on Thursday night as well. So basically our schedule here on Fantasy Sports Today, for those of you who watch the show live every day, is Joe and I, as we have been doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, our show is 11 to 1 Eastern. And then we will have no show on Friday, and our weekend edition is wiped out also because we're going to have draft editions of the show. So make sure you tune back in tomorrow because it'll be our final 11 to 1 show of this week. And then, of course, we'll be back again on Monday for Fantasy Sports Today. So thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks, everybody, for listening, tuning in as well. Don't forget, make sure you catch Scott Farrell's show this afternoon, coming up a little bit later, Coast to Coast, in-game live. And then you can catch Joe Ranieri tomorrow morning right here on his program. And certainly look forward to catching Joe in the morning as well as we get the early line show going. For Joe, I'm Craig. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks to everybody who watched. We'll see you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.